Okay, so the meeting has started. It's
Okay, so the
recording.
first thing on the agenda is Act 181, consideration board. Okay. So what the viewer?
My thing is, I think it's all over and done with. It's too late to send anything in. They've already kind of decided to let it, that it, they're not pushing it. So at least the road building part of it. We can write a short letter if we want to, but it's pretty much from what I read in the paper yesterday, they've decided to not go that route.
Are they going to abandon the whole thing?
No, so
No.
what they've said now is they're agreeing. So nobody's done anything from a legal standpoint yet. They are agreeing verbally to repeat rule in tier three. I, however, think that we as the select board should write a letter s stating that we feel that the entire Act 181 should be repealed. There's a lot of other things in tier one and tier two that I believe, my personal opinion is that they've been pushed through, knowing that they were going to get pushed back on some of the other stuff. I think the entire law was written kind of in, not in secrecy. I mean, it's public, but it wasn't advertised to the local communities. They ignored feedback. Then they overrode the governor's veto of it. Again, without listening to additional people's feedback on that. So I would propose that Westmore send a letter stating that we are in support of repealing the whole thing.
I'm in agreement with Jason. I know they've said they're gonna drop the road rule and tier three, but they also don't always hold to what they say either.
Yeah.
At least if we write a letter, it shows our support against it.
If we do, I think we should make it a short.
Yeah, no.
Those 2 or 3 page letters, you know,
Right.
people read the first paragraph and the last, and
Yep.
that's
Short and sweet, Bill. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I agree there.
Yeah.
It
I
doesn't
mean,
need to.
because the town does have a lot of conserved land and state land, so we're already limiting our usage. So
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not against it. I just don't want to get into
I think a
spending.
one page max.
Yeah, I was going to say one paragraph. Yeah.
Okay. So what's
So
the.
I will make a motion that we write a letter no longer than one page stating that Westmore is in support of repealing the entire Act 181.
Okay.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Who's writing the letter?
Aye.
Lori, could you unmute and identify yourself, please? Otherwise, we have to read. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lori Lakin.
Okay, thank you, Lori.
I will take a stab at it this week, in the next couple of days. If that is okay, I will send it around for edits and suggestions.
Okay,
Sounds good.
Well, sounds good.
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, on to Westmore Firemen's Association. And I think we're gonna I entertain a motion to go into executive session.
You have to
I have to read
do we want to do that until we get into the contract, actual contract
We
part
don't
of it?
want to do that until we get into the actual, but yeah.
I mean, we should have discussion.
Well,
We got people here, unless we're going to invite everybody into the executive session. It seems
why
like,
don't we have a discussion on
yeah, we should
it?
have.
Yeah, then we'll go from there.
Yeah,
I think it's a good.
I think that would be
Okay.
more in line. I mean, we're all adults here. We shouldn't have any arguing. We all know the facts of what's going on.
Yeah, I think
And
that's.
yeah, it should be
Okay.
open discussion. I think the townspeople listening in would. It just to me is better to do it, everything in the open.
Yeah. Okay, so who's going to go first?
Well, I'll just summarize.
Yeah,
Good idea.
I'll just summarize. There was concerns from community members and former or current life members of the fire or the Westmore Fire Association, as to the current capabilities of the fire department in protecting Westmore residents. There were multiple concerns that were brought up to the select board. The select board has a duty to provide public safety to the town of Westmore. And there are questions whether that can be done currently, what the capabilities are, what the future capabilities could be. And so that's what brought this on. We as a select board need to again ensure that we have current capabilities. So that's where this started. I would suggest that the person or people who initially brought the concerns forward have a chance to speak, and then we should hear from the fire department representatives as to their understanding, their confirmation of what is said or what is believed to be, and then we can have some open discussion. Okay. Is that fair?
Yep.
Is that fair? Okay. So at this point, the initial letter that was sent was from Kimball. And then another letter had been sent from Iggy, the former chief, who recently resigned. So I think we can start with Kimball.
Hi, I'm Kibble Johnson, a life member, founder of Westmore Fire Rescue.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic that we're sitting in here today with a couple of the signatories to the original agreement for us to start Westmore Fire Rescue, which was me and David Stevens, who was on the select board at the time. So the big thing about what my discussion process is that we here today, with substantial discussions and reach out to different people in the fire community, citizens, the whole thing is, I believe our discussion process today should result in drawing a lifeline to the Westmore Fire Rescue Department and allow them time and space to regroup and reset. It's an important part of our community. And I, as the founder, and on the 25th anniversary of this group, of Westmore Firemen's Association, Inc., which is a proud moment that we as a community need to wrap around this organization and we need to support it. But we also have to know what's going on currently. And we need to understand that they need support. They need amazing amount of training. And so I'm asking that we as a community and even former members and such, we need to wrap around, we need to support. But by doing so, they have the heavy lifting, meaning Westmore Fire Rescue, of doing extensive amount of training before they're able to move back into full service to the town of Westmore. And I do not believe, and I'll be very transparent, I believe that everyone that joins the fire department gets an absolute initial amount of respect from me because it's a tough job, and for that I'm grateful. I'm not here to be adversarial. I've been transparent with Westmore Firemen's Association and the board. I spent well over an hour and a half on Monday the 13th at the behest of the board. They asked me to come in, and my options in the original assessment that I wrote, I went over piece by piece with them at that meeting. So it was still full transparency. So we're just to give discussion points like we're talking today. The other thing that I'm big about is that we need to understand that our neighboring departments, I'm noticing Newark's here and very appreciative of that. I actually wrote a grant many years ago on behalf of the department for their new pumper that they did receive. And a very, very nice memory. Condolences. I think I saw that the former chief passed. Is that correct,
Oh,
Mel?
yes, John.
Yeah. So in that context, yeah, the big thing is we all need to lean into it too, the neighboring departments and such like that. I want to go further with that statement and just basically say that other departments are struggling. There's no question. I mean, this is a national problem, a state problem, and a local problem. Getting warm bodies and people expected to do what they're going to do, it's a huge sacrifice, both in time, I'll even say money, training away from their family, sometimes away from their livelihoods. I can go on and on. So, and here I am 25 years later wanting to support what I built. For the first 8 years, I built. Now I do want to go with that though. Every time there was a transition from a chief to another chief, and I believe the WFIA members here today can attest to this, I was always asked to come in and help with transition to the next chief too. That was fine. That no problem. Did it right during those different tenures too. Sometimes it was out of their purview, so I'd get the call, "Hey, Kimball, could you do this?" It was more like an administrative side, but still. So, but sometimes I'd make the call and I'd say, "Gee, do you realize that, for instance, VSP's moving over from dispatch or Vermont State Police, they're getting done. Do you know?" But no, I didn't hear that. Well, I do because that's my business too. I'm in business for 42 years in the fire service too, so my ears are to the ground. Call them up. They said, "Would you handle it?" So we switched over very seamlessly to Newport Police Department, along with all the other departments in our area anyway, and made it happen. And the whole thing, I'm on a first name basis with most of those public safety agencies too, with their chiefs and their lead agency people. So it's important to have that extra help, of my experience as we move forward. But having said that, we now need to move towards. We had some serious issues. We've got to see if we can reset the department. And it's ironic that it's 25 years, but I guess what a better time to be moving on this and reset it, and hopefully for the next 25 years. I'm hoping I'm not being too optimistic, but I could try, right? So meet Chris McCarthy, then it was, and then unfortunately, very sad event. Tragically, we lost Chris. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I reached out. You came down to one of the initial meetings. I asked the different mutual aid companies, their chiefs and stuff, and you came down to appreciate that. And we coalesced around the new group that turned out to be Ed Levy took over. Then Ed Levy had his tenure. Then when Ed Levy and we had the transition. Then when Ed Levy left, we got together, did the transition. What came out of that was extraordinary because a lot had been let go on both sides. It was apparent then, definitely on the admin side, which was the loss of which the board, but the public deserved, with all full transparency, I agree with Bill on that. 5 to 6 years of no taxes being filed even, which made us lose our 501c3, which I fought hard for in the beginning hours. Then we lost, they didn't do a simple filing of nonprofit status with the Vermont Secretary of State. All those things had to be rebuilt. So we had community members come in, and community members like Don Anderson, he did the heavy lifting on helping with all the taxes and stuff. Oh my God, he did an amazing job. We now have 501c3 back. The taxes are ready. We need to be filing those for May 15th, but that'd be no problem. And then throughout all of that, we got involved. May was a huge, huge help with, moving on the bylaws, tightening up the idea of annual meetings and such like that. But we need to talk about the culture, though. So the culture drift, if you will, I'll use that term, is you don't know what you don't know. Now, on the admin side, when you first start talking to the members, when it first hit that we needed to rebuild the admin side, we said, okay, well, let's see the minutes of the annual meeting. We have such a thing. There is such a thing as an annual meeting. I was asked by more than one member. Now, I'm not putting them down, but that's an issue. And it's not technically their fault because leadership didn't go there. So got that reset, the timing for that. We also working on the different parts of like the taxes and stuff, got an accountant out of St. Johnsbury to do the filings and such like that. So ultimately, I'm here to state as a member and as a community advocate for the team, the admin side's pretty well all set. Okay, that's a good thing, right? But now, and at the last meeting of we had three in January 2025 to help reset and get things started to get it on the right path. It took quite a few months for everything to come through. And I remember distinctly saying, now you need to move on the operations of which is the firefighting side of the aspect. And there was a lot of nods, a lot of that. Iggy was brought in, the slate of officers was Iggy or Chief Pike as chief. And past that, I can't tell you, but from what I've seen, not a whole lot happened there. And thus, when Chief Pike left, he basically got on the phone to me, and I'll just use the term whistleblower. And he laid it all out. And I truly couldn't believe what I was hearing. So I started to dig into it myself. And, came up with my assessment, and I stand by that assessment with some maybe with some caveats. I might have been wrong on a couple of points, but I stand by what I say, and I don't believe that that team can take a call right now in their normal setting, not sitting right here, and effectively be on the fire ground and do the job of firefighting. That's my own opinion, but that's why I'm here today. And thank you.
Okay. So who wants to go next as far as go ahead, Meg?
Yeah. Just identify yourself. Meg Carter.
Yeah, I should have had everybody introduce themselves because this, I don't know, I don't know, why don't you go ahead and do that first?
Jason Redthune, I've been with
Okay.
for about 15 years.
Okay. And
I'm Chris Venegas. I'm the new treasurer after Dom.
okay. And
Russell Curtis.
Yes.
Westmore.
Okay. And
Rob Kennedy.
okay. And
Okay.
Campbell, go ahead.
Kimball Johnson.
This is for the record.
Westmore Fire.
Okay.
John's
And
treasurer.
yeah. And then.
Harriet from new member.
Okay.
Living Young, Newark Fire Chief.
Okay.
A couple things that I wanted to say to start off with. We have had two annual meetings since the January. Well, we've had the January 2025 annual meeting. We had our 2026 annual meeting a little bit late. I was out of the country. And we've had monthly meetings, including several additional meetings to do some ad hoc work in the station. And respectfully to our founder, Kimball has been at almost none of those. And so the day-to-day operations of the department are a little bit different from what may have been characterized by AB to you, and then in turn to the select board. We have made a lot of progress in terms of the administrative side of things. We have also been doing a lot of trainings at our monthly meetings. And while we need to bone up on a lot of our in-house trainings, and in addition, need to bring in more training to the department, we've been able to respond effectively to the calls that have been made to us for the past 2 years. We were just at the end of last year, the appropriations for the past several years were beginning to be dispersed at that point. And so since the end of last year, we've been able to increase our equipment and various safety things around the department. And we intend to continue that trajectory. So we are making quite a bit of progress, and we have built momentum, and we're heading in the right direction. In addition to that, we are working on building relationships with surrounding departments. You know, like, for example, Lily has been amazing. We also have Charleston Mutual Aid on call for any fire-related call. At this point, if we are toned out to anything that has to do with fire, they will be showing up as well. And we have 5 people enrolled in regional fire school for this weekend, including some folks who are going into Fire Officer 101. I am going to be in tanker shuttle, and then also we have some people in fire communications class. In addition to that, Lily's just let us know that there is some additional training available next weekend. Twin State Fire down in Bradford. And we have been trying to pull together some wilderness first aid forces. So we're making progress, and we have plans in place. We are updating a lot of our equipment. Our apparatus is in the shop right now being inspected. We're going to get the tires replaced. There's a lot of stuff going on, and we are making the forward progress, and we're very proud of that. And respectfully, I think that we are in a place that is different than has been characterized.
If you don't mind, couple questions.
No.
So, in your meeting on the 13th, there,
mm-hmm.
You guys were talking about your trainings and whatnot, and you stated your turnout gear is not up to code to train in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can't go training, do a fire training with it, how can you respond to a fire call? Is that why you have Charleston? But why was the select board not notified if you're basically subbing out the fire?
Well, it's not so much us subbing out, it's more of a mutual aid contract. We all have mutual aid contracts with our surrounding towns. It's very common. If anytime I have a structure fire, I have run cards set up, and I have, if it's a confirmed structure fire, automatically I have 2 or 3 other departments, depending on which end of Newark it is, that are automatically going to be toned to respond to that fire, because no one department can put out a structure fire alone if it's, if it's anything big. I mean, if it's a little kitchen stove fire, I still am going to probably, have mutual aid coming, because that can get out of hand. But sometimes I only have 2 or 3 people that are available. People have jobs, and that's normal. East Burke and West Burke respond. They're automatically toned together for every call, because during the daytime, help is hard because people have jobs. We volunteer for this. It's very normal, like in what I do, to have mutual aid. And like I explained to them, and they did work on writing up a run card. It still needs a little fine tuning, but a run card that says, on the north end of Willoughby, if I have any kind of call, I need, Sutton and Newark that border me there. And on the south end, I need Charleston and, Orleans to respond. And that's completely normal. And we depend on our mutual aid just as much as they depend on us,
And can you just identify yourself one more time?
Lillian Young, Newark Fire
Chief. Newark Fire Chief. Okay, thank you.
So also, they are working on updating their gear. I just took a sales position with Dingus Fire, actually, and I'm helping them with that. I took the position because, really, There's not a lot of money in this area. There really isn't. Our departments run on very, very tight budgets. And I saw a way that I could help with that because I can keep the cost really low. So I did give them a really good deal on that, you know, as low to cost as I could keep it. And I've been doing that for all of my local departments. It's huge. And even just getting the service around here is hard. So that's huge. But their gear is the gear that they have right now is 09, and NFPA standard is 10 years. That is best practice. You know, the best practice would be 10-year-old gear. But there are other departments around here that, you know, also got a lot of the departments got AFG grants. My department got an AFG grant in 07. So I have a lot of older gear that's 07. And when I have new firefighters sign up, I don't have brand new gear to give them. They get the 07 gear. We train them. And then if they seem like they're going to stay, then I can get them new gear. I was like, but I put on that 07 gear and I'd still fight a fire. It's not like it's completely inadequate. But best practice is 10 years. And Sutton, they got a grant in 05. Some of their gear is older than that. These guys, the gear that I looked at the other day is 09. That's a little newer than some of the gear that I've worn over the years fighting fire. And I've been doing this a long time. I've been chief for 10 years, and then I was on the department. I've been firefighting for probably 20. And as far as their air packs, we looked at those the other day. They have a 15-year lifespan. Their packs, the manufacturing date was 06 of 21. So they're due for a hydro test every 5 years. So they need to have them hydro tested in June. They need to be flow tested every year. I did give them a link so that they could set up a flow test from MSA. There are things, but they are actively working on it. And as far as training, fire training is, you know, I'm happy to help with that. They can come and train with us. I'll come and train with them. They can come and train in Sutton also. I'm also on Sutton Fire, and I train with them every week. And we're happy to do mutual aid trainings and help get them where they need to be. They do have a lot of support in the community. I came to the NEMA meeting the other night. And there are chiefs there from all of the mutual aid, and they all offered that support as well.
It was a really warm welcome.
Yeah. They do have allies, and we are all happy to help. And like I said, it's fine for the town of Westmore to lean on their mutual aid right now while they get things figured out. They have a huge community of firefighters that are happy to help them. And that was what Meg got for a reception when she came the other day. I don't know. But they haven't had anybody coming to the mutual aid meetings, but usually it's a chief, and Iggy didn't come. I don't think we ever saw Ed Levy there. So it's been a while, but that doesn't mean that they don't have the community. They do, and we're happy to have them come to the NEMA meetings and to help support them through this transition and getting things where they need to be.
Okay. I got a question.
Yeah.
There's different steps of level of firefighting. So where are you at right now?
In terms of certification?
Well, certification, yes.
Yeah. I have combined level 1 and 2 firefighter certification.
Okay.
I also have hazmat and emergency vehicle driver training, and a variety of other trainings that are old certs, but I have the training.
Okay.
I've had wilderness first responder times. They're expired medical trainings, but I still, you know, do quality med packs. One of the things that we've upgraded already is big 10-man trauma kits. We have all brand new medical supplies for that kind of first responder, because we don't get as many fire calls as we get rescue calls, so we're prepared for both at this point.
I'm hardly hearing.
No, you're fine. We don't get as many fire calls as rescue calls typically, and it's nice to show up with, you know, modern equipment for the medical side as well.
I got a dumb question.
Sure.
Can he identify himself?
Chris Venegas,
okay.
Board treasurer, firefighter.
When you go to a call that's somebody's had an accident, and they're in a vehicle, what's your protocol for extraction as far as how? In other words, you can't get the door open, you can't get this open. I mean, this is something that...
Yeah, it's an EMS support.
So actually, can I answer that for you?
Well, whatever.
So usually when you have entrapment, like what you're describing, on my run card, anytime there's an entrapment, we have a couple of departments that surround us, Brighton, as well as Lindenville on our other end. that actually do extrication. And so on my run card, anytime there is entrapment in the initial tone, they're automatically toned so that they can come and help with it extricate.
And Charleston has JAWS play, so they are
right
mutual aid for
not every department has extrication.
I assume that, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's a special equipment.
Right. It's a run card thing.
Yeah.
So you have wildland certification, not structure certification.
At this point, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
I have fire. It's different.
Yep.
It's different completely. NWCG wildland fire. So I have firefighter type 2 and firefighter type 1 trainee and instant commander type 5 trainee. Both my task books are all filled out and so we can get signed off. And I do that as support with the Green Mountain National Forest, and nationally I get dispatched for wildland fire.
And Jason, do you have fire 1, fire 2 certificate?
I don't, no.
Okay.
We've done multiple over the last 10, 12, 15 years. Different trainings every year, every other year with the school. I've tended to lean a little more towards the rescue end of things, wilderness first aid responder and all of that, because 95% of our calls are rescues or car accidents. They're not necessarily, fires. And from being an instant command and knowing how to run the scene, whether it's, going up the mountain or going out across the lake, whatever it is.
And just to be clear, there's not Vermont law that you need to have firefighter 1 or fire.
A lot of firefighters don't. A lot of fire chiefs don't even have those certs.
Right.
I have fire 1. I don't have fire 2, but I do have a lot of certifications. In tactical rescue and water rescue and hazmat. I have a lot of certifications for different things. Logger rescue. I've taken a lot of different classes over the years, and sometimes that's more valuable. And there also is the opportunity for like people that have been firefighting for a very long time to not take those courses and actually just do a challenge exam and prove their skills.
I got one other question. What's the difference between 1 and 2?
Firefighter 1 is all of the basic skills. Firefighter 2 covers more on like pre-planning and Firefighter 2 will go in, they'll tell you like how to pre-plan for your town, for like each building, like for your church, how you would fight that fire. So there's a lot more of that stuff in Firefighter 2. It's a much shorter course.
Okay. So is there such a thing as, my son's on a, he became a firefighter. So him and I have had some talks. So what he had to go through was like, So he ended up having to go through a class where he went into a building with somebody holding on to the leg and the back of him. And it was a simulated, he had special equipment on and so on. So
CBA training?
I guess.
That's interior firefighting.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah.
And that's firefighter 1 skill.
That's firefighter one skill. So that's why, yeah. So then,
well, you can also just take the SCBA training separately, and we actually offer that in the school, and it's Wednesday. It's a 2-day course.
Yeah, okay.
On the SCBAs.
Okay, Kimball.
So this is all well and good. Thank you, Chief, for your assistance to the department. But I don't believe, and I might be mistaken, but we're not set up with run cards right now, automatic. Newport PD. So you have to call it. You have to call it in. In other words, that's my understanding. And if I had known this was going to be this type of, I'd had Orleans here, or I'd even asked Orleans to be here. Because the bottom line is that now I've got to ask the hard questions of, with all due respect, Firefighter 1 made mentions of being 14 years in the fire service. Who was that with me?
I have been with Sheffield Wheelock and then with Westmore.
Okay, and how many years with Westmore?
With Westmore, I was on for a few years, and then I was off, and then I've been back on for the year and so.
Yeah. Okay. Jason, you mentioned 15 years on Westmore only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just Westmore. Yeah, your career. And Chris, your... tenure. I know the 10 years, which is excellent.
Yeah. What are you doing out here,
Bumble? 10 years on in the fire service of some sort, right?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, that's where I'm getting at. I'm sorry to
have this little question. Well,
I just kind of follow you. No, just saying. So we have a combined quite a bit amount of experience here. Okay, and my question is that one of all these years, why is this coming up now? Why are these discrepancies not been addressed long before this meeting? Is it because the spotlights have brought on to it and now we're all trying to regroup quickly and not actually benefit from a reset and park this thing? Because I personally, with my background, firefighter one, chief, helping out different departments all across, multiple tankers and pumpers that I wrote, you know, all I'm saying is this, I don't feel comfortable them getting called to my house today. Period. Full stop. They don't show up. I've timed them. I'm on DE dispatch. And when you see a tone go out on a night and we go out and we watch them and we count and we time it, and their run sheets are terrible as far as response time. And I get it. You know, makes an island pond. These folks are over the mountain. I get all of that. But we can't afford to have somebody showing up in a pickup truck. They don't go to even get the truck. This is a cultural problem. Maybe we should have a time.
What are the times that...
Oh, I've seen it as high as 45 minutes and not even rolling the rigs. That's unacceptable. Okay. That's unacceptable.
So,
well, it just is.
Just a question, but
yeah.
if you resource this out to another department, yeah. Do you think those times are going to improve?
Oh, way improved.
And why is that? Because the distance is going to be further, and those...
No, they're not.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Orleans Fire Department is ready to set in and be contracted to this town for 8 months. Okay, giving them time to train, bring themselves up to par. They'll be on full call, and they roll with Barton. Surrounds us on that side. They have a crew of six out of Barton with a pumper.
Are they volunteer too?
Oh, yeah, they're volunteer, but I have two of them that work for me. Most work in the village of Orleans. They're leaving in under 5 minutes, and we have the run sheets to prove it. And then they're out here in 20 minutes. A full crew, full complement. Almost all of them are fire one and two. But the pushback is, and I'm just going to say it for all to hear, is that over the years, you mentioned Orleans especially, and it's, oh, don't want them. Well, you know why they don't want them? Because they'll hold them to the standard, a good standard. Okay? That's what they're going to do. And it shines a broad spotlight on that culture of, hey, we got this now. There's a lot of stories that you might not be aware of, and I'd appreciate it, chief to chief, retired to existing, that you need to hear that. And I appreciate you getting their back. I have their back. I made that clear on the record to the public. But I don't like the white body. Not that you've done that. But these people, they need to understand they're not capable of taking a call. And those trucks shouldn't be rolling. They haven't had a pump cert in years, ever since I left in 08. No pump cert, no ladder certifications, no testing. And I keep saying, if they get hurt, their loved ones can sue the department. And by extension now, the town. Because towns are now liable if the department's not up to par. That's a real thing across the nation.
Yeah.
Follow through here. We have, it's an epidemic of emergency vehicle operations where we have known at least once a week of volunteer and career departments having major accidents with their apparatus. It's almost an epidemic. I follow that closely because that's my business. So I see all of this.
I see it too.
But it's there. So I'm just saying, for their from and I truly am for their health and welfare. And let's perfect. You're talking about training. I'm saying park the bus for a little bit here, allow them the needed to regroup. We need to bring new people on too. We're that's the elephant in the roof. We
That every
have,
department's
I know that is. I lived it. You live it today. I get that.
Other than their speed of response, are there
Other than
other complaints
when I have
about,
my family and a,
right, but are there other complaints about the service?
oh yes, oh
So what are
absolutely.
they?
I've had everything. If you want to go there, I've had everything from this is alcohol on scene, alcohol in the department, on scene responding, okay, under the
Mean
influence. I'm just saying in general,
on
but I got witnesses. I hate to be saying this, but I'm not sitting here making unfounded stuff. You want to start talking, go deep, we can go deep.
So I'm gonna stop. So if for the sake of there are I've heard stories too, but because this is a I'm gonna say a quasi-government setting, if the people here aren't if the people are not here to talk about them, I it's hard for him to convey the stories that you're asking about without I don't know that that's going to there are stories out there, but I don't know that that gets us anywhere
For this,
right for this for today.
I was just
Yeah.
looking for
That,
a complaint
yes,
about the
there
service.
have been other I've only been on the board for a month,
Month or two.
month or two, and I've heard them.
Well, I was just
So
looking for where there was a lapse in service, where they needed to improve in the service is what I was looking for. Not so much for stories and
well, so okay, so I mean we have the timelines, right? But we're also the town is also being serviced with equipment that's a liability. So maybe all the townspeople don't know that, but I mean, showing up with equipment that may or may not work is an issue. There was questions as to the abilities to run the equipment based on a couple calls. My understanding is that there was video of people not being able to run the pumper. So even if you show up in time, but you can't get water out of it, that's an issue. So from my perspective, and again, I've been clear, I've had conversations with Meg and Jason. You know, my initial concern is can the department in its current state provide what I consider life safety services to the town, as well as do it safely for themselves first. Biggest question. The reset, additional training, that to me is a separate component from this. Because we have to look, we have to look at it from a safety standpoint as the board. The organization of the fire department, do they have the skills? Do they need additional training? Getting the pump certification, that's a fire department control thing, right? What they put the money to, what they fix, what they need, what they believe they need fixed, you know, what they prioritize, how they prioritize that. That's more on them. We have no say over how they prioritize it.
So I
But
have
we, because we contract with them, we again need to hold, we need to be comfortable in saying that the town is protected. Whether that's a 5 minute response time or a 4 minute response time, is the town protected? I myself have questions, and I believe to Jason's point, certain calls, I think that they could probably be handled without a lot of difficulty, and then there's other ones that are. I have, and this is, and again, and to be completely honest, and up front, this was long before this came up to me. I've lived here for a little over 5 years, and pretty much from day one of living here, after having a conversation with a previous officer of the department, pretty much was sure that if my house caught on fire, I was getting
This is
it was not going to be saved. Interior firefighter plus. And so now that this has come around and it hasn't been addressed, it is more concerning. And I'm going to say, and to Kimball's point, the people that are here now representing the department, for the most part, they got put here, they got put in a bad position because of the previous people. So none of this, and I've only met these people like twice, so none of this is personal. I don't have all the background. I just know what the capabilities appear to be, and they're going in the right direction. But right now, today, I have concerns over the ability to service certain types of film or certain types of fire calls.
I think just pretty straightforward. We immediately made sure we have mutual aid available for them. So there's silence.
There is a question on here.
There's a question. There's a question online here.
You want to do that?
Yeah, do that.
Lori, you had a question? Lori?
Yes. Yes. My concern is when I first came here, I couldn't get home insurance because they said I didn't have a fire department within 5 miles of my home. And it turned out that the agent didn't know that, in fact, it was 5 miles. So I wouldn't be able to get home insurance if we didn't have a fire department in Westmore. And I just had to check that. Of course, it was AI, but generally it is 5 miles. And Orleans is 12 miles away. So that's a big concern.
That is accurate. Homeowners insurance is going to go through the roof.
Well, and another thing, the last few years, I'm sure, has been hard on the department with lack of knowing if they were going to get money or not. The money hasn't been flowing from the town. Number one, the town contracts with them. We are not supposed to be in the midst of dealing with who gets elected chief or anything. Our contract is we pay you the money, you do the job. Everyone knows since you got done, Kimball, the leadership style has changed. And I think they're on the right track now to try to get things back the way they should be. And money-wise, now that they've got their paperwork in order, I'm sure it makes it easier for them because I'm sure the town's contribution is their biggest money maker that they have. It always has been that, hasn't
No, actually, it hasn't.
Russell, can you identify
Yeah,
it?
Russell Curtis, I believe the fire department collected more on the pull tabs
So.
at the Gap than they did actually from funding from the town for a number of years.
Yeah, but that was leadership.
We've
Well, that was money coming
yeah.
in the, I'm just saying,
Come, yeah.
number, it was money coming in the organization. That's all, just to clarify.
So
Yeah.
we have discontent.
So finally,
Okay, Bumble.
so to speak to the lady on the Zoom call, as far as Orleans is concerned, they are 10 miles from the North Beach. Charleston Fire Department's 9.2 miles to the same location. Charleston Fire Department, love those guys to death, know them well for well over 30 years, and they're all volunteer department, so they have to muster to get their people to the bay, and then they have to do the 9.2 mile haul, depending on where in Westmore, and then it goes from there. So the bottom line is out of the bay the quickest with the most experienced people, which turns out to the minute the fire trucks put in park and chock and pump operations are rolling, I'm putting my money on the full team of Orleans Fire Department. They have 26 members. Our hybrid version of what I've proposed, I've well thought out the different ways that we can help assist with Westmore to rebuild and do all the training that we expect of them, so all of it, is the fact that we would do a hybrid at Orleans. Once they get up to par, we bring them back on, but we leave a truck after it's been repaired in the bay, which is exactly what they did in Barton. Barton got taken over by Orleans, and then they went ahead and put that truck in the brand. They actually had a fairly brand new fire station, Barton did, when they folded. And that brings the ISO 5 mile radius to I believe even parts of Westmore on the west side. But for us to hold a unit in bay, and then the Westmore firefighters possibly manning it, or the hybrid of Orleans and Westmore, we can work on that and be in compliance with ISO.
So this, my belief. This Orleans department is part of the mutual aid.
They're part of the same mutual aid.
So you were to ask them to come for the structure clear already yesterday. If there was a structure clear, invite them as well.
Yeah, and I don't, and just to clarify,
on that is the fact that you get to the scene, you're calling first, and if you're not on an automatic, like the chief here is saying, which is a cart setup, that's not direct calling. That's when they get to the scene, if they're even in town to get there to assess.
So we set that up on their car.
We don't know about Newport doing that.
Well, I've been going to all the NEMA meetings, and they're actually, there's been a big push. We've had actually some of the dispatchers come in and try to get everybody on board with setting up run cards. And Kurt Flynn was there and offered to come help them set up their run card.
May I ask what a run card is? You're explaining it as you go.
Oh, yes. Run card is, it's basically a form that says, okay, so if we have a structured fire, we want these tankers, these engines from these departments to be automatically toned when the structure fire comes.
Okay.
So they're not sending out just a tone to Westmore. They would be sending out, you know, on the north end, they'd be toning Sutton and Newark and Westmore all at the same time. So
and they as the dispatchers.
Dispatchers.
So they have those parts.
Right. And their
response plan.
There are parts of Westmore that I actually am the first response for, because it's not easy for Westmore to get to, like Bald Hill Pond and Job's Pond. Those two parts of Westmore is way too far for them to be a first response. So I have been the first response for those areas. Tom.
Yeah.
And then Hal did away with that because he wasn't our best leader. And he didn't want to do anything for free. So I actually fixed that when I took over. But yeah, it would just be a run card that tells dispatch. They basically pull it up on their screen when there's call in Westmore. They pull it up on their screen and it tells them who Westmore has assigned to have toned to calls. And you can delegate for, you know, wildfires or, you know, these resources, and structure fires, these resources, tactical rescue, we want these people, any kind of extrication, we want these people.
And you're currently working on that, or it's in place at Newport Dispatch?
They actually printed me up a copy of the run card that they started already, okay. So I have that out far.
Okay.
They showed me what they had so far, and I said, yeah, it just needs a little bit of fine-tuning, but it's a very good start for what they need.
But what we do have in the meantime is a request into Dispatch. Without a run card attached, that is fire call process.
And we don't need to show up on scene to request mutual aid.
No, you can radio that in ahead of time.
Yeah,
even
the second
if,
we get
even
a
if there wasn't
call,
a run card.
Once we know the location of it, we'll call the nearest resources. And this is a conversation we've been having over the past couple of months. A lot of the concern with the department is past leadership, past mismanagement of funding. And we have new leadership, we have a new school of people. I mean, our newest firefighters, like, active enough to even come to this meeting, you know, like, we've got new recruits coming in. I think we have five new people in the last 2 months.
In this, today's environment, volunteers, it's very hard to get volunteers.
So, like you've been saying, we're on a trajectory right now, and we would hate to be punished for the mismanagement of people in the past, but...
Just to clear, I don't think anybody, I'm not looking to punish anybody.
Yeah, cool, great.
And I've been open about this. My concern is the immediate, and then making sure that you have a runway to, and Kimball said the same thing, to give you a chance to fix the rest of the, right? It took years to get there. You're not going to fix it overnight. So are we protected in the short term while you are fixing the other stuff? Right. I'm not for the person on the phone who said about, you know, concern about the 5 mile, I'm not saying that you guys shouldn't exist. by any stretch of the imagination. My concern is we have the appropriate level of coverage now to give you a chance to fix the rest of the cell. And then we come back whenever and see that progress, right? I know you've made progress. I have not questioned the progress.
Sure.
I'm questioning where we are right now for the safety of the public.
Yes,
and do you, and do you need it, you know, and yeah, where are you now? What's your plans? I know there's plans, but
yeah,
we have to address the now while you're getting healthy,
yeah,
or
try to
moving forward.
Like if we had a call yesterday, we would have automatic mutual aid coming, and we would request mutual aid based on the nature of the call. So easily,
yeah.
That's the now date. So that.
This is it.
Okay.
I still have a question. Like, what?
What's your name now?
Harry.
Harry.
What's the difference between if we get these run cards set up and mutual aid all set up versus contracting or liens, for example? Like, what's that going to look like? What are the?
Oh,
and maybe you can answer it.
That you.
No, go ahead, Kevin.
With contracting with Orleans, all it would do is like if the call was made today, and in an executive session after this, I'm taking it that even with the contractual talks about that, is that brings a full set on crew leaving the station, and they're on it and they're going to be here, and there won't be any type of, and they have a full-time chief. I actually take it on the chin because a couple of their people work for me and I pay them when they're gone, which is essential. So I'm just saying, I'm kind of fine with this, but I keep going back to too little too late. And we need coverage right now, proper coverage, and set up. Jason's background is with 25 years of fire experience and everything, and he brings a lot to the table. And I'm just not so sure that what we're talking about here is very nice, but how come the other departments won't call them?
I just have a question. I just have a question. Are you saying Orleans wouldn't come now?
No, they will come obviously, but off of mutual aid.
No, I'm trying to get the clear.
But what this gentleman asked was,
yes,
what do we get if we contract out? Basically, it puts these folks on stand down, what's more fire rescue, allowing them some breathing room. Hey, maybe with the help of very active help of the chief, Kirk Flynn is offered as well, from training perspective, even Jason, right, Jason? You had mentioned that you would help with training because he has the experience as well. I would help. And maybe we can make this thing go away in a few months. I don't see that happen. I really don't. The culture of that department is still in place. It is.
What is the culture that we're referring to?
The culture of the department is laissez-faire. I've got people that left that department, and I asked them why, and they said the trainings were basically over all these years a joke. They get there, even some of them self-actualized and said, hey, can, you know, why don't we just pull the tank route on the tarmac and quickly, you know, muscle memory, right? Because I'm also, you know, was an EMT service in this town for 14 years, was the fact of be able to get in and get that into pump gear properly and safely and get water cut. And they go, oh, no, get that on the dashboard. That little sign's on the dashboard. So the culture of the department, the actual leadership sitting right here, have no business being in a leadership position. I'm sorry to have to say that, but this bit about people growing into the, you know, like the legacy, okay, I was captain, then I went to assistant chief, then I went to chief, and then I did this and that. No, those days should be gone. They need an active, well-heeled fire chief in charge. Do you agree with that statement?
So our chief is determined by the board. The board is voted on by the members, and the board appoints the officers. So there's not like an automatic succession plan.
But that's what's happened. The automatic succession plan has happened. That, I mean, that just stating the fact.
Yeah.
And again, we really do need to find out organically who could become chief. And that's another matter. I think that the leadership needs, again, the time to relax here. That's all. That's all. Plus, while they're rolling, they've got rolling stock of one. These are all fairly new pumpers, tankers. So they have three pumpers. They have, and one of the pumpers is an automatic, fully equipped a Jaws. Orleans Fire. Then we have a brand new Pierce engine. They have a Zodiac and a full rescue unit. They have ice rescue equipment, and they're training every year. There's a lot of discrepancies that this team doesn't even aware of on ice rescue training that I forged forward with.
I have ice rescue equipment and ice rescue training. I had ice rescue technician training at Chef.
Well, no, I'm talking about West War Fire in general. And then the other part of this is then they have an aerial and they also have a tender. So that rolling stock is headed our way quickly, professionally to this town. And I'll stand by my statement. I just don't think that they're ready for prime time.
I don't have anything against Orleans. I know most of the guys there. They're good guys. And the only thing, like that Orleans ambulance was going to take us to the cleaners,
right?
Money-wise. Yeah. We go with Glover because they were half the price of Orleans. Is the fire department going to do the same
thing? Right now, as of yesterday, just so I have that information for the meeting, is that and they do a rolling average if they continued on in this situation, but they actually would do $20,000 for the final 8 months of the 2026, taking all calls, assisting with training as well. And then that would give the entire team a chance, plus Jason is the fire department liaison with Westmore Fire. We'd set up training schedules and such that they'd have to follow in order to, for the town to then say, okay, you're good to go again, and let's go. That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything?
I've got two things. Just a thought, and I know it's a hard pill to swallow thinking about, but it gives you guys way more time if you are to stand down to focus on all the training, getting everything up to par, than it does if you're being called possibly once a month, might be five times a month, you don't know. But yes, you have the mutual aid, but that way it would give you full mental to, okay, well, I'm taking these 2 days this week to train. You know, you're not getting called out and away from your family the other 4 days and going, is the training really, do we need now? I'll skip it this week. It gives you full mental capacity toward it. And we all know that it's a hard world. It's hard to juggle everything from the fire department to your family to your jobs. And it's not something to just, we'll get it. Because it's your safety as well as the public's. The other thing I do want to bring up, it was actually in Kurt Flynn's assessment as well. I think the drinking in the department needs to stop completely. It is not allowed in our town cottage. It should not be happening in the fire department. The town garage isn't allowed to drink, so there shouldn't be any alcohol that's in there. If you guys, I know you can drink at home, have a beer or two, and go to a fire call. That's different. Oh. But you shouldn't be either.
No. Not at all. Zero tolerance. Excuse me, but I'm big on that. Zero tolerance on calls. You're under the influence. You're not showing up to that call.
And I'm not trying to be the the a-hole in the room about it. It's been seen, and that it's not professional.
That's we I'm currently writing our first set of standard operating guidelines, which we inherited a department without SOGs. And one of the things that I'm writing in there is codifying some very basic things about comportment and response and everything like that. And I plan to make sure that things that are passed on from leadership moving to leadership can be clearer than they have been in the past, to make sure that going forward, we don't have this sort of loosey-goosey lack of good information passed from chief to chief. We have a document that people can hold in their hand and say, yes, these are the standards that we hold ourselves to. And that will include things like, comportment in the station.
Hey, Campbell.
On that same note, I would implore, no matter what happens here today, that the Select Board, Westmore Fire Rescue, we need a very comprehensive agreement between the town and WFA Inc. And I mean all the I's dotted, T's crossed, so we're not sitting here. Because if that this thing all happens again and they go back to their original ways, we need chapter and verse on an absolute lead. Right now we're operating on a two-page agreement, which you signed with me, with the rest of the board, oh so many years ago. But those days are gone, and we also have to do it so we can protect the town. And then we're going to have where with between liaison or whatever, we need to start visiting this once a year. That is all set with your training. We need to see those records. We need to see this. We need to see that. And if they're not willing to do it, not just here, anybody, any department, but we need to go there.
That's part of what I'm trying to get this quarterly letter that I'm writing to the select board, updating you on things that we've purchased equipment-wise, trainings we've taken, calls we've taken, all that sort of thing. I have sent an update, and I plan to continue that.
I think the board wants the Westmore Fire Department to be vibrant and get it really active again. I think the thing that I look at is if you're not up to standard, if there's a question. I've been on this board too long, and there's always the guy out there that wants to sue. And if you don't have all your I's dotted, and if somebody gets hurt, they will find a way. If there's certain people that will find a way to sue you. And they'll start with you, and then they'll come for us because we're involved with that. Because we're involved because of the money. We're not involved with you directly as what your group as far as telling you what to do. But when it comes to the money.
I think that's why we've always stepped back so that we weren't
But we
involved
don't
other
want.
than the money. That was where.
That would lead that back to us.
Yeah, it could.
It's like I'll give you for instance, and Kimball's been around long enough so he knows this. We had a suit that was on the beach where somebody ran out and dove into the water and broke his neck. And we went to court over that. We had to sue the insurance company to get them to come on board. And once the insurance company got sued, then they came on board. Because what happened was, is our insurance company that we dealt with had subbed the insurance out to somebody else, and they didn't mention we had a beach. And I mean, hey, I've seen it all. When it comes to this kind of thing, you have no idea what something can pop up, and for your own good, because I really believe in what you're doing, but for your own good, I'm just speaking as you want to cover your butts.
Is there some examples of that happening to departments in Vermont or doing whatever, I guess anywhere like
I don't
you
know whether
guys?
there is or not, but I just
Yes.
there is.
Yes, sir. Just had a couple of bad ones out in, I believe it was Ohio, where It was an unfortunate, very tragic, where a two volunteer departments, the host department called in mutual aid, is my understanding. Mutual aid came in, they didn't have the proper procedures, they didn't have the proper people on train, they didn't have any kind of a accountability situation in place. And then what happened was one of the incoming mutual aid firefighters was interior certified, ended up with heading into the basement with basement fire. And it's my understanding that when he got down in there, he got caught up, he got trapped, and they didn't even know he was missing until well over 40 minutes or so later. His air had run out, and they by the time they got to him, he passed. It resulted in a well over $10 million policy, policy in, no, it was a lawsuit, and the family of the past firefighter won, and the judge went so far as to say, no, we're not. So the fire department was sued, and I told these folks the other night, they've gone ahead and they're going after the leadership now too. And it's all about the run cards, and it's all of, not the run cards, but the training and all of that, having your I's dotted and your T's crossed, because then they even went so far as they said, and whose auspices were they under? Both departments, their towns. And two of the towns were talking that there was a possibility that they'd have to file bankruptcy because they did not have that kind of money. That's just one. They piercing, used to be called piercing the corporate veil, which, you know, years ago, oh my God, you'd have a problem with public safety, especially volunteer, and the local a lawyer would, you know, you'd walk in and go, I want to sue West for fire rescue. I don't know. I, you know, I'm from this community. I'm not so sure I want to go there. Well, now that whole thing's changed. They, no, it's terrible. They'll sue the department. They'll even sue the leadership. And I'm warning everybody about that. I just, it's a fact.
I mean, I've seen all kinds of stuff like that, but
it's sad.
Yeah. the guy sued us for 10.
Wow.
And he got, I think he got almost 2.
Wow.
We sat at a table. The board went, you know, we had these hearings, and the board went, and we had a kind of like a pre-trial appearance. This guy comes in, that's the one that's got this broken neck. And I'm looking at him. He comes in a wheelchair. He's got a bottle here beside him. He could turn around and suck on the bottle to get his water. And I says, oh boy, this is not good. Because you, I mean, any jury, you're going to go into a, you're old, you wheel him into a jury or a court, we're going to lose. Yeah, you know, it's an eye opener what can be had as far as lawsuits.
And there are more instances. There are actually instances of the insurance companies getting their own lawyers to file suit against fire departments so the insurance companies don't have to pay out if the structure gets burned and somebody does something wrong. So that's in PA. You can research that. And I'm from Pennsylvania. So,
and the other thing is you're an asset to the town, and we don't want to see you get hurt. That's human life, whatever.
Yeah. In my, talk at town meeting, one of the things that I did mention is that we are investing in the safety of our members.
Yep.
And in wanting to bring in new members, we want to make sure that we're setting them up safely as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have new turnout gear coming to us. The trainings that we're taking this weekend don't require new turnout gear, so we're good to take those. We are, this year, we are changing to a 2-meeting-a-month schedule, where our second meeting of the month is going to be exclusively training, and our first one is going to be business and maintenance.
Yeah.
So we are investing in those things, and We feel confident in our ability to use mutual aid in a way that is effective for the safety of the people of this town and a good way for us to have experience on scene with firefighters from other departments and have that experiential growth. And then also continue with our in-house trainings and our regular other trainings, including the ones that we.
Any other questions or comments?
I mean, I'd love to see Westmore utilizing the mutual aid instead of you having to invest $20,000 in Orleans to have that coverage when they're already their mutual aid. It would be lovely of them to invest that time, energy, and money in Westmore and making them prosperous.
You guys have a close relationship with Charleston at this point.
Yeah, they just inspected E1 yesterday. That the engine passed, and the tanker has new tires coming. It's getting tires on
Well,
top of
Orleans is
Friday.
also your mutual aid too,
Yeah.
and it's not that they wouldn't still have Orleans at their disposal. They are their mutual aid. They can still call upon Orleans for any fire call as well,
Yeah.
and they can express that on the run card. They can express Charleston, and then on the other end with Newark and Sutton.
Okay, so I got one other question. When you, let's say you get an accident, and I brought this up once before, you get an accident and the person's in the car and you can't get him out. Who would you call to? See, we have Glover's and ambulance. They provide us.
The ambulance would be toned automatically for any kind of accident.
Oh, but they would be, who would come to the thing if Glover's there? Let's say Glover's there and you can't get the person out of the car and they need mutual aid to.
Charleston, I've talked to Dwayne about that and his crew at their meetings, and they've got quite an array of jaws of life equipment. And they're aware that we don't have that equipment. They know that if we ever needed it, they would be on their way with if we asked for it.
I don't have that equipment in Newark either. The instance of us having an accident that with entrapment has been so small that us buying the equipment ourselves is not practical. And I have departments on both sides of me that have that equipment. And if they're usually in your dispatch, they'll say, "We've got a motor vehicle accident with entrapment." And right there at the dispatch, they know that they're toning one of those departments to come and assist us with
Yeah,
that
but
entrapment.
will they tone the nearest department? In
Yes,
other
they
words,
will. I have the way I
if, in other words, if for instance, in other words, a point A here, that this is the accident, and then you got this the mileage, and then how long it's going to take. Will they take the shortest? Who can get there the
Right.
quickest?
The way I have Newark set up, it's broke up into three sections. And I have a different run card for each section. So, like, you can do the same thing for Westmore. On the north end, have one run card, and on the south end, have a different. So that on the north end, they know that they're toning Sutton and Newark for, whatever for assets. And on the other end, they're toning these departments because they're closer. And I have mine set up for three. You could have it set up for as many as you want. It just means that when that address pops up, the dispatcher has a screen that comes up and says, "These are the assets that they want because they're the closest assets to respond to this call mutually."
Okay. Any other questions or concerns, comments? Okay. So what is your pleasure here? I'm just going to sit here and listen because,
I have one question.
okay, go ahead.
So I'm assuming you're working on a chief.
Yes.
And that's a board decision, but.
Yeah, Jason is our acting chief at this point,
Okay.
and we need to pull the members together in a formed meeting to elect a president of the board. And once we have the full board, then the board will appoint a chief.
Yes, we just saw it in
Anything else? Okay, will you all say?
All set.
Okay. And now, we don't have a current contract right now, do
Well,
Technically do, yes.
We do.
It's in your
The two
pie.
change.
Okay,
The resolution.
got
Yeah, it's a resolution and agreement, and it's
Okay. So,
go right after you there.
yeah, turn under there, dude.
There it
Okay.
And it's basically two pages. There's some stuff attached that
Oh, so
was.
this is the original one then.
That's the
Yes.
original.
And it's in force unless either party.
I haven't read it
Yeah, it's in force
since.
unless either party cancels with a 30-day notice. It's not a, we don't have to sign it annually.
No.
Okay,
If that
so
were it's coming in,
continue.
that should mean to really tighten that up. I think you brought that up at one point here. Yeah.
And there was, I found a paperwork that there was a proposed
Okay.
larger agreement that was more specific, but it was never signed,
Okay.
I think.
And we did not find the lease, right?
Correct. So
Yeah.
this is all I'm.
Right. Because there was a there was supposed to be something with the building, the lease of there, and then there was a something with the equipment, and then something with the fire
Oh,
department, so go defunct or whatever.
it's all in there, David. Yeah, so I can
Okay.
speak clearly to that.
So I can remember
That
some of it
yes,
anyway.
sir. The entire thing collapsed. Westmore Fire Rescue, WFA Inc. All equipment, monies, everything gets resorted back to the town of Westmore.
And that's not what we're looking for, but
No,
it, no.
but that was a well, that was a fail-safe built in by me because the town supported it with taxpayer money, such like that. And right now, that pumper tanker, even in the tough shape that it's in, my estimation, it's worth about.
That was not assigned to my.
Well, okay. Oh, it wasn't.
It's
I guess
proposed.
I'll check my file so that I get the originals. But in any event, that's got a value on the street of about 130,000, and I paid 131,000 when I ordered it back in 2004. Isn't that something? But that same truck today lists for just shy of $500,000. That very truck, and it's less than 10,000 miles. But you'd certainly want to get the most money out of it, so we go ahead and do that with the ability to like have it completely gone through, pump tested, certified, the whole bit. So that's another thing that and then the engine one, yeah, she runs and stuff. I guess Chris must have taken it over, Jason, over to Dwayne's yesterday and got it washed afterwards and stuff and all of that. But in its current form, and as I verbalized to the team the other night on Monday night, is I'm well versed in the brokerage of trucks both in and out, and I would hopefully be playing a part in that as far as that engine goes, engine one, because that fit a scenario for us at the time for Westmore Fire Rescue. But not so much now. I personally believe myself, but it'd obviously be everybody comprehensive talking about it, would be more of a smaller wheelbase, four-wheel drive, single front seat, contingent of the ladders and things like that. Hopefully, maybe 1,000 gallons on board with a 1,000 to 1,250 pump on it, to get us going. In that direction, if with the department being
I know when
going
you
back.
did this, Kendall, you wrote all the grants to get a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
You can
Yeah.
make copies of that so I can get it to
Oh,
Boyd. So this is the
if
one you're talking
that's
about.
actually, I wrote grants for that. I got fired in their new pumper.
Yeah, I remember that too.
I did grants for Orleans on SCBA. Again, previous group, notwithstanding. We had to do, we have to do some more work on that as far as being able to write grants for the department again at the federal level. So basically, what we're looking at is having an all community support there. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I
Thank
guess
you.
just on that vein, Maddie is working on writing grants, and it was already our plan to sell. You want to buy a quick attack mini pumper, same spec that can live on. That was a separate grant miles, if you like, maybe seven landing bars.
There are other grant opportunities out there also that are not at the federal level. The NBFC offers several, like there's one that's coming up for FESA's low turnout year. That it's a pretty simple application, and because of their need, they actually would be very eligible. Right. Lumenberg got that one last year.
And that's the worst, so.
Yeah. And then there's another $5,000 grant for any equipment. And I think I just saw another one for a $10,000 grant that was also for equipment. And you just need to show the need, basically, and how it will improve your response to that.
Yeah.
And they're very simple applications. They don't need a lot other than like syntax, statistics, population, call volume, things like that. Nothing hard to get.
Okay, Campbell.
If there's the final though, all well and good, but in cold light of day in Portland, you are being swayed by an attorney representing a victim, injured firefighter, whatever. This is well and good, but this is where the reset comes in. You can't, well, we're doing this, we're on it, we're doing this. Yes, you are. Great. Great. But that's in the future.
Yep.
That's not right now.
Yep.
And people have to understand. And they have to train.
Yep. Okay, anything else? Are we all set? Anybody want? Do we have to go into executive session, or are we all set?
I think I'm going to make a motion that we move into executive session.
Okay. You have second first.
Oh, yeah, read that.
Wherever it is. Where is it?
I'll let her find it. I'm not digging through that file.
Just outlining.
Okay, so a specific finding from premature general public knowledge would clearly place the public body or a person involved at a substantial disadvantage. Well,
that's how you open up, and then the motion would be what's written
on the agenda.
Yeah, that is per statute.
You must have that. Yeah.
Yes.
Either one, you know, say, et cetera.
Yes, so that would be your motion.
What's that mean? You
just point it out to him. Where the
yeah.
statute is.
Gotcha. Under statute 1 VSA 313A1A, I make a motion that we move to executive session.
Second.
All of them in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So who's. Now, do you. Everybody,
I have to stop recording. All right.
You stop recording.
So you made the motion. We're in executive. I will stop. Pause recording. Back in regular everything.
Yeah, well, we need to do that all over again if you
Yeah, do your motion. I'm sorry. It wasn't recorded.
No problem. As per 1 VSA 313A1A, I make the motion that we are leave executive session at 11:20.
Okay, all of them there.
Bill seconded. Okay.
Did that rehearsal that
good? Aye.
Okay, so now you're.
Okay. So at this point, pending our discussions, I make a motion that we table any final decision pending legal review with the town lawyer to occur in the next. 7 to 10 business days with a final disposition coming at the next regularly scheduled, duly warned meeting for the town of Westmore.
On May 4th, I believe.
Yeah, as long as
May 4th.
Our lawyer isn't on vacation.
Correct. Pending the lawyer availability.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jason made that motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Thank you guys for being here, for providing information for us, for having an open discussion.
Yeah,
greatly appreciated.
A very good discussion, and I hope that you guys will come to a good solution. I'd love to see your department flourish.
Yeah,
I think we're all looking at that.
Have your department dissolve, and like I live in East Haven, and we had a department at one point that I was on. And having it dissolve wasn't the best thing for the town. I think if the town had put a little more energy into helping us keep it alive, it would have been a better thing for the town. It's wonderful when a town can be proud of their department and support it, though. And having the board behind your department is a wonderful thing. I know in Newark they are very supportive of everything that I do and appreciative, and it's a wonderful thing, and I love it. And you all seem like a lot of people, and I really hope that you guys can bring this out and find a good solution. And like I said, there is a lot of support out there for helping your town, you know, build up what they have. At NEMA, there were all fire chiefs from the mutual aid, and they were all very supportive and offered any kind of help that you need. So if you need help with training or equipment or, you know, figuring out how to get things where they need to be, we're all here and we're happy to help.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have a lot of support. Don't feel alienated. And then you're not the first town to have this, you know, kind of situation happen with their department. Things lapse, and we just need to do our best to get things back to where they need to be. You have a beautiful town to protect. And there is a lot here. The way Meg put it the other day was actually perfect. There's a lot of different types of calls in your town, but the instance of them is smaller. So, you know, you could have ice rescue, water rescue, a tactical for climbing, or climbing, you know, then there's the usual like structure fires and car fires and car accidents and things like that. But some of those other things, like, or even the dog rescue that you had last year, ended up being a tactical rescue. The incidence of those is low, so we have to train for all those special circumstances too. And I do have a lot of those special trainings, and I mean, a lot of those kind of trainings are really cool to take, like water rescue. There's not a lot of instance of it, but when there is, it's really good to have some people that know exactly what to do. Because if you just go in and move the tree off of somebody, you know, then the medics aren't ready to push the drugs so that they don't, you know, send a blood clot right to their heart. There's things like that you got to know. But like I said, you have a beautiful town, and I would love to see them flourish to protect you. So let us know if you need anything. We are here to help.
I think the board is on board with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just think we need to sort some things out. We need to sort things out.
Yeah.
We have to, in other words, go carefully. And this is kind of like taking it back a little bit and doing some, making sure that we do the right thing.
Right, and I completely understand your liability end of it. That is your job to protect that part, and that's also important. I understand that what you're doing is to protect your town too, and we all need to work together in that same effect to protect the town. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you from up over the mountain too?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's what we got to get some people, younger people.
Here's our newest recruit. Was down the south end.
Yeah. But he's a mountain man too.
We got a guy up by the campground there, a new fellow in town, Bobby Meek.
I know. Okay, you go ahead and make the motion.
All right. Thanks again. At this point, I make a motion to adjourn for the day.
Okay.
8:20, 11:20.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Who is going to call?
Who seconded? Seconded.
Jason. Do it.
I haven't talked to Jim yet.
Well, I can call him, but I think you're more qualified for this.
Yeah, I have the book. I have the wording.
I did send all the emails to him.
I've been talking to him, but
I can give him a call tomorrow. I can't do it today, but I can give him a call tomorrow.
Yeah, and if he doesn't get you, if you don't get him, he'll get back.
Yeah, if you haven't put the shadow box off for a couple of minutes.
That's why he said if you're in that part. Because I also have to write a letter.
You want your packet back
for Act 101.
I can take it. It's all the emails.
Once you get your name in there.
Oh, you found the other.
David had it.
So let me end.
Stop the table.